But we've been, as we're all well aware, we've been journeying through Colossians and mainly focused in Colossians chapter 3. And so this morning I want to just do a quick review of the messages that we've had so far. And so the first slide that I've got up there, it's from our very first meeting. That was November 10th, if you remember, a time when we joined together. And so we're just about at 2 months right now of gathering together on Sundays. And so November 10th, the title of the message was In This New Life. And that is the phrase that we see in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, where it says, you know, in this new life. And then, you know, Paul goes into the start putting on that new life, right? And so we saw there that new life, the resurrection life that Jesus bought for us is available to us through his life, death, and resurrection. And Paul's urging the Colossian believers, saying, in order to put on that new life, the first step is to completely put off the old self. Rid yourself of the old self that you used to wear, that you used to live in. And he uses strong language like put to death. Completely put to death the old self, the old life. Put on the new life by being renewed by the Spirit that is now living in us and learning to know our Creator. The goal is for us to be restored to the image of our Creator, into his likeness, meaning to be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. And so that was the first message. The second message on November 24th was focused on Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And so if you remember, I kind of thought we were going to go into those like put on virtues and characteristics right after. And I'm like, there's a jump and there's something missing in between. And the something that was missing that was in between was our new life identity. Our new life identity as God's chosen, holy, and beloved people. That as Christ gave us the new life, that he bought our salvation. We sang it in that song, More Like Jesus. What he did for us is he gave us a new identity. We have a new life identity because of what Christ has done for us. And so before we looked, you know, we wanted to look at some of the values and virtues, characteristics of a new life believer, we needed to look at the new life identity and what that means. And so it means that we truly are God's chosen ones. We're holy and beloved now. And then the proof of that identity should be all, we're working towards all of them, the values and virtues and characteristics. And so those are proof that we're being renewed, that we're growing and maturing as new life believers. And so in our discussion, we pointed out that this happens, it happens individually, but it really begins to happen when we do that as a community, that as we come together, we edify each other, we challenge, we encourage one another in our faith. The third message on December 8th, it was Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. And this was basically like Paul's purpose as a pastor, where he says that his purpose is to make the word of God fully known. So in other words, for people to come to faith. So that's his purpose. I want people to come to know Jesus, you know, for them to experience the new life. And then the goal from his purpose was for us to be growing, right? To have that consistent growth, consistent steps towards maturity in our faith. And so we talked about that progression of faith where it was like we experience salvation, right? Our hearts are changed. We have that time, that experience where we're changed. We are given the new life. And then it comes to a knowledge. It goes from our heart to our heads. There's this knowledge of what it means to live for Christ. And then there's the fruit. It goes to our hands and we begin to see fruit in believers. And so that was what we called the progression of faith. Hang in there. We're like halfway through all the messages. December 15th, it was the fourth message. And this is when we had our lovely discussion on what it looked like to be a consistent and maturing follower of Christ, a new life Christ follower, as I've put it there. And those were some of the things from our discussion. You can see the awesome work that you guys put into reading through Colossians as well and what it means to be maturing as believers. And so, Sam, there's also another slide there if you want to go to the next one of different things that we discussed as well too and what it looks like to be maturing as a new life believer. To sum it up, we said there's faith, like Paul and his purpose. He says we want people, you know, we need to come to know Christ, and that's the faith aspect. And when there's faith, then there should also be maturity, and we kind of put it into a equation where it's faith plus maturity, while the result, the equals, should be that there's fruit in our life. And what was the central fruit? Love. Love was central to that, and we saw that as we went into our fifth message on December 22nd in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, where Paul, what does Paul say? Above all these, like on top of all of these things that I've mentioned that are fruit in our lives, one that is at the center should be God's love. God's love is at the center of his story for all of us, for humanity's story. And the Christmas story revealed that, right? We said John 3:16. Well, it started in the manger. It really started, like, it's God had his plan all from creation, right? That, but we saw it enacted and coming when Jesus came to earth in the manger, in John 3:16. And we saw that in the Christmas story with people like Mary, right? Where God revealed his love to Mary. She received his love, but then she also reflected his love, right? And it's like, I'm your humble servant. I'm your servant. You know, let it be as you said it will be. And so Mary, she reflected his love, God's love as well. And so we looked at three things with Mary to be like Mary, to truly be people that live as people who above all else put on love. We need to have a Mary, M-A-R-Y, a Mary faith, humility, and a Mary heart, meaning that we live in awe of God and what he has done. And also people that have a heart that understands God's word, that know how he's already working and come alongside him. And so that is the review of where we've been so far with Colossians. And this week I had to remind myself, we can go to the next one there. I had to remind myself why we're looking into Colossians so closely and saying, why are we doing this? Why are we even here? And I came to the conclusion that was because I wanted to explain where the name of the church came from. And so it was kind of a simple thing where it was like, I'll share a message about, you know, the phrase new life and we'll see where it goes from there. And this is where we are from there. And so it really has turned into an opportunity to define who we are as individuals wanting to truly be new life believers. But it's also become, and my desire, my hope is that it would shape and define who we are becoming and want to be as a new body of believers. As Highlands New Life Community Church, that as we look at Colossians, as we look what it means to be a new life believers and a new life congregation, a new life group of believers, that it would truly give us focus. It would help us determine our mission, determine our vision as well. And so when Paul writes these epistles, like you read through it and he's like, is he talking to the whole church? Or is he like talking to the individual? I don't know. Do you ever get that sense where it's like you're reading through and it's like it's hitting you, right? It's hitting you in the heart of you're like, oh man, this must be like directed, you know, to specific people. And so I reflected on the English language a little bit, and we have one word for talking to a singular individual and also a group. English, come on, like that's bad. It's not great. It's not helpful. So I think of like when we were in the Philippines, Tagalog as the national language, they had pronouns that focus on the singular person and also as group. Was that also in Hindi as well? And in
singular plural.
Singular and plural. So I would say in Tagalog, I would say ikaw, Leo, that's like an individual. And then I would say kayo is you. So it's like you as well as you. And so anyways, that's my harping on the English language really quickly. But we need to remember that like Paul was writing so that, yes, individuals would read it and say, yes, this is God's word. This is, you know, we need to follow what Paul is saying. I need to follow what Paul is saying. I need to live to the standard that God has given me. But it's also like you as a church, this is how Christ desires for you to live. This is the design for the body of Christ. And so as we've been like journeying through Colossians like this, I've come to that realization where it's like, man, this is good stuff for me. Like this is excellent. I need to be following what it means to be a new life believer for myself individually. But as a group as well, as a church, it's like this is what it means for body of believers. And Paul was talking to that congregation of people so that they would live and function as a true Christian, a true Christ community. And so I want to continue looking at Colossians, whether you like it or not. We're going to do that. We're going to continue to look at Colossians, look at Paul's letter to the Colossian church for us to establish who we are becoming and who we want to be. And I think it will be very helpful for that. I think it'll help us show us where to go from here, where we are right now. You know, we're at almost kind of 8 weeks sort of thing, 2 months into this church planning endeavor. And I believe that it will help us show us where to go from here as we look forward to taking the next steps that God has planned and designed for us as a church. And so if you think about the Colossian church and kind of how Paul was talking to the Colossian church and how that will, you know, lead and guide us as well, help us. The Colossian church, it was a church of fairly new believers that Paul had never met. He had never met them in person. He was writing these letters because he wanted to encourage them in their faith and challenge them on some of the things that they were not doing so well, or some of the bad practices that they had. And so Paul, he focused on the basics of Christianity. And he urged them, he's like, get these basics right. That's why he like names the different virtues and characteristics of new life believers multiple times. And then he also gives these like short poems of, this is who Jesus is. You look at a part in chapter one. I'm getting way ahead of myself because we're going to go there. But he also establishes like this is Jesus. He's God's son. He came to earth. And so he's developing, he's talking about those basic things, even theology of Christianity, but also the practice of this. If you have the Spirit in you, this is how you will live. And so he's urging them to understand what it means to truly be and live like a new life church. He's saying you've got to get these things right. And so for us as a new church, I realize not new believers, but as a group coming together, desiring to see what God has in store, we've got to get those things right as well as new life believers who individually are each a vital part of Highlands New Life Community Church, a church that will commit to being a new life living church that invites and disciples people into that new life. Amen. That's what we desire to do, is to invite people to be living in that new life as well. So this message series, it's called Living as a New Life Church. And it's a bit of a journey through Colossians. And so as I timed, I forgot to kind of time myself right now, but that was like a 15 plus minute introduction, which is not normal, but what's that? Yeah, you can stay there. That's good. But now you can change it. Good. Perfect. We're going to be journeying through Colossians. And so let's start at Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to go three verses today. And this is what Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And let's pray together. God, we're thankful for your word, and we're thankful, God, that you have given your living and active word for us to study, for us to just digest and to look into, because we know that it truly can pierce our hearts in a way that would bring life change in our lives. And so we just pray that you would just speak to us through your word today, Lord, that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, and open up our ears. And Lord, as we continue to journey in Colossians and look at what it means to be new life believers, but also as a new life church, we just pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us, Lord, that you would be the one that would work in our hearts and our minds. Lord, only by your might and your power will you speak to us, and will you change hearts, and will you give us direction. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, what was Paul talking about in these three verses? Well, I think there's three things. And then you're probably like, Greg, what are you going to do with Paul's introduction? And basically, that's what he was doing, right? He introduces himself. He kind of speaks a bit about his credentials. He's an apostle. He's an apostle of Christ Jesus. Not by his own, he's not saying now that this isn't my own like accreditation. He's like, you got to remember, this was by the will of God. This is by the will of God that I am writing you this letter. And so he talks about himself and how it's God's will that he's an apostle of Christ, and also Timothy. He could have gone into a long explanation of both of their callings into ministry and to being those that would be teaching the church. And then second, he says who he's writing to, right? It's like, it's the saints and faithful brothers. And we, as we read scripture, we know that that's addressed to a group of people, brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae. And so in his introduction of who he's writing to, he also gives a bit of a greeting, right? And so it's grace to you and peace from God, our Father. Which sounds really nice, right? It's like, grace to you. It's like, oh, thank you. And peace. Oh, wonderful. So it's like, he's opening it up and saying like, I'm writing this in a friendly manner. You know, it's like I'm talking to you and grace to you guys and peace from God, our Father. And then he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And so he's thanking God. Thank God for these people. Thank God for what he is doing in your life. And he goes into why he thanks God. He's thanking God for them in the next verses. And so today, from these three verses, I want to do two things. And they are, I'd like to introduce myself, and I'd also like to thank God. And Sarah's looking at me like, what are you talking about? Introduce yourself. Well, I want to share our story from the beginning when I was born. I'm just kidding, it's not going to be that far. But I do want to share my story, kind of a bit like Paul was talking about. I'm apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm not saying I am, that's Paul. He's saying apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And just, I think there's value in that, in saying, listen, why are we doing this journey through Colossians, but even more like, why are we here in this house where there's like 3 feet of snow on the ground, and you know, just starting life here in Flesherton, in the Grey Highlands, Southgate area. Why are we here? You know, Christ or Paul, an apostle of Christ, he's saying who he is. I think it's important for me to introduce myself and say who we are, and to remind us as a church, like why we are here, why we're doing this today. And so, for us as a family, you may be somewhat familiar with our journey. Sarah and I, we decided, we felt God's call to ministry way back. We were married in 2003. Do you remember the wedding day? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Suzanne, that was great. Suzanne was at our wedding. Sarah and Suzanne were good friends and badminton champions as well. So they'll have to tell you later. But shortly after being married, we felt a call to ministry, and we went to the Philippines. We're there for a number of years, about 3 years, and felt that we should have some Bible college training, or myself have some Bible college training. And so I came back for 1 year. I'm like, I'm going to get in, get some training, and get out again. It turned into 4 years at Bible college. Loved it, just so appreciated being in God's Word, and just being in a classroom with others, and just discussing different things about ministry and God's Word. And so that took us to 2013. Sam was born in 2012, at the end of my time at Bible college, and then Asher was born in 2014. And so when Asher was 3 months old and Sam almost two, we went back to the Philippines. And it's not bad traveling with a three-month-old. It's seriously, that's way better than traveling with a, no offense, Sam, almost two-year-old. So anyway, there we are on our way to the Philippines, and we ministered there for 9 years, ministering with youth from difficult life situations, running a discipleship and vocational training program. Fast forward to about 2022, started feeling some restlessness that maybe God was leading us to something else, and not knowing what that was, but just feeling clearly that God was calling us back to Canada. And it was a difficult decision. If you think about 9 years of our children's lives, when they were only 11 and 9, you know, that was their life, right? And that was our life as a family being there. But just feeling that God was leading us back to Canada, we made steps towards that at the end of 2022, and arrived in Canada May 2023. And we were interested in this area in Canada. It's like we kind of had some practical reasons. We had friends in the area, just in Eugenia, you guys not much further away. So it's like we're not completely away from family, housing a bit more affordable. So there's kind of these practical things that were drawing us to this area, but then just seeing the growth as well too, and seeing that there's not a whole lot of evangelical churches. And it's like, I knew that God was stirring in my heart towards pastoral ministry, and I was like, not going to happen. I don't think that's really the direction we're going to be taking. But then just looking at this area and seeing the need for a church, and you know, of course, with Country Gospel Church and everything that was taking place, and then eventually closing down in May, God solidified it in our hearts that it's going to be church planting ministry. God was calling us to that. And for us to be in our home church in Elmira as interim pastors, it was, you wouldn't believe the timing of it. Like, it was totally a God thing for us to be there during that time, for us to be able to transition back to life in Canada well, to help them through a time of transition, pastoral transition as well. Just so praising God and thanking Him for that. And it was in a sense practically comfortable for us, near family, a great church to be ministering in, but we just didn't feel God's peace. We knew that He was calling us to minister in this area. So August, we move into Flesherton, kind of believing people how much snow there would be in the winter, but not really believing everybody. It's like, it's not going to be that much. And here we are in winter, January 2025, and just thankful for God really leading us to be here. And why do I share that? It's a longer introduction than Paul's in Colossians, but I need to remind ourselves as a family that it's like, you know, God has been leading us to this. God has been leading us to be ministers of the gospel in this area. And so I could even say that we believe that God is going to do a great work in this place. And we've heard that from others, not just because we're planting a church, but others just saying, like, man, God's doing something. He's stirring something up in this area of Ontario. And I'm so blessed and so thankful to be a part of that. And so I could say, if I introduce, okay, we're going through Colossians, we're going to be looking at this and what it means to be a church. And so I could say, Greg, a follower of Jesus and a minister of the gospel by the will of God. Like, I do believe that it's God's will that he has led us here. I truly do believe that. So the second thing that we're going to do, that I wanted to do this morning, is just thank God as well. Just like Paul thanked God, I want to thank God for you, for your faithfulness. Faithfulness through the good times, where you just experienced God's blessing, you experienced how just God moving in wonderful ways in your lives, whether it's individually or maybe being a part of a group of believers as well too, and also thank God for your faithfulness through the tough times, maybe individually as a family. Tough times maybe ministering as a church or living out Christ's calling and your will where he's placed you and where he has you. If there's been times of questions or times of God, you know, what are you doing? How are you leading us? I want to thank God for how you have stayed faithful to God's calling as well too, and to his will. It's different than our story, but it's the same. That God has led you. I truly believe and know that God has led you as a family to where you are. He's led you guys as a family as well to where you are as well, and you are allowing God to use you as well. And so I thank God for you, for your faithfulness in serving God. And I wanted to thank God as well for you being part of, for all of us saying yes to God and being part of this journey. And I believe that he truly has brought us together. In case you didn't know, it takes people to build a church. That truly is the church. And Sam, we'll go to the next slide, where it's Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 6 says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function." Thank the Lord, right? That they're all not like me. My goodness, we drive each other crazy. "The members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." And Paul goes on to talk about those gifts, and we're not going to get into a study about the various positions, offices of different people in the church ministering and the gifts that we have. But the point is, God's brought us together. And I even remember reflecting, Leah, when we were praying the other week, where it's like, oh, you know, this is great. There's people that are even expressing and saying, man, you know, when we're in a different space, and when we're able to do music maybe in a different way, that I know, you know, there's others that want to get involved, and I'm blessed to hear that. And even just to see how our children are starting to develop and those gifts that God has given them, I'm so excited to see how God will use each of our gifts, how he will use us to minister in different ways. And so, what's the point of my introducing myself and talking about how God led us here and how God has led each of your families here as well too. Well, I want us to understand that this is more than just a message series in Colossians. That this is an opportunity for us to solidify who we are as a body of believers as we continue on this amazing and possibly crazy journey of planting a church, but this so important calling and task that God has given to us. And I want us to focus on how God will use us individually as part of his body, and how he will use us as his body to minister to others, to bring about his plan of salvation for all of us. That this is a calling. You know, we have our calling to Christ. He's called us to himself, and then he's called us to be new life. He's called us to be people that would reflect what it is to be his children and to be new life believers. That's the calling that he has for us, and the calling that he has for bodies of believers that come together as well. And so we need to constantly remind ourselves that, man, God, you've placed us where we are for a reason. Paul was reminding the people in Colossae that, listen, you are called to Christ, you have new life, and you've been called to minister as new life people. You've been called to live out the new life. And we need to remind ourselves of that as well. We get to grow in our faith together as a group of believers, and we get to minister to people as well. And so verse 2, I think I pulled up the verses again there, Sam. Just as we look at verse 2 again, it says there, Paul is talking to who? Well, it's the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae. Well, we can change that. We could say we are the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ of Highlands New Life Community Church. And I know that we will be, just like the Colossian believers, will be known for our faith, will be known for our love and our hope, as we'll be reading in those next verses next week in verse 4, where Paul starts to mention what it means to be a community of believers. Be excited. Be excited for what God is doing in your hearts and lives individually. Be excited for what God is doing in us as a body of believers, and what he will do as well in this body of believers and the communities that we find ourselves in. Continue to be excited and continue to look forward to and pray about what that means. As we talked about briefly, just talking about the gifts of each person in a body of believers and how the body functions, be praying about what that means. Would you be somebody who's our prayer warrior, just seeking God and saying, Lord, what would you have? What would you have for us as a body of believers? Are you a doer, a servant, somebody who just wants to serve in different ways, somebody who loves to love on other people, to care for people, to be hospitable, to be generous, to for those who maybe are teachers and those who want to teach in different ways? Be praying about what God would have for you as we look at what God has for us as a body of believers. Be excited for what God has in store for us individually and as a group in 2025. Amen. Amen. Be excited. Amen. I don't know if there's anything as far as we've looked at these three verses, very simple verses, but an amazing reminder of who we are in Christ and his calling. Maybe there's something that stood out to you as well this morning.
On our way back home, we were talking about the very thing that you were actually sharing today, in terms of how we as a body of Christ need to know what it is that God has placed in us that we need to bring to the church, and it's about knowing that and where you. you mentioned about, I think here in the very first verse, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ, and him knowing what he was called to,
mm-hmm.
and you again setting the example of defining that for yourself. And I think it would be great that if we all understand that, that we've all been called for that purpose, and then what it is that we've been called to do, and defining that, and then acting it.
Right.
Doing it. And so you're actually taking that time to go into the details of what our individual responsibilities are in the body of Christ.
That's good. Yeah. No, I appreciate that, Leo. And as you're talking, I'm like, oh, maybe a spiritual gifts test, or not test, but what do you call it? Survey would be helpful, or something like that, even just, yeah.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, that's exactly what you were talking about.
Mm.
That's exciting because, yeah, I was basically challenging the family and saying that we need to grow, we need to understand what our spiritual giftings are,
mm-hmm.
because, again, and you pointed out in Ephesians, he says, he's given prophets, preachers, teachers, and all that. What is our spiritual gift in it? Are we really growing in it?
Right.
Are we investing our time into growing those spiritual gifting? Because this is the work of God. This is not natural. It's spiritual work.
Right.
And we come with the natural gifts, but also we need to bring in the spiritual gifting. And what is it that it is? So it's essentially just trying to come in and say that this is something we need to grow in.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I'm excited of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. And
we're heading
good.
In the right direction.
Yeah. Caprina just said we're heading in the right direction. Yeah, I appreciate that. That's good.
I like two of your words, Leo, responsibility and growing.
Yeah.
So one is like we often, like sometimes, actually speaking to myself, we overlook that responsibility to use our gifts
mm-hmm.
for our Creator and for
mm-hmm.
His creation, others. It is our responsibility. And we often can sit back and kind of almost look at it like it's a bonus if I do it,
mm-hmm.
whereas it is we're required to do this. It's our responsibility. It's also our blessing and our opportunity and everything else.
Yes.
So we often leave a lot on the table because we don't take that responsibility. I like your word, use of that word. It's it's not an opportunity. It's a responsibility. And your growth thing, I think, is equally part of it. Oftentimes we go, "That's my gift. That's who I am. That's what I have." Well, no, it's this big now, and it can be this bit bigger later, right?
Yeah.
We're called not to just share our gifts, but to actually develop and grow our gifts, which is a lifelong thing, which I think Paul is about in every one of his life. He's like, you guys are awesome. By the way, fix all these things. By the way, get better here.
Yes.
So we're never called to be who we are. We're called to grow who we are.
Amen.
And that's our responsibility. I like you two words.
Yeah. It's good.
Completely random, but it stood out because I went back through all Paul's other readings while you're talking, but I was still listening.
Yeah.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father is consistent. He throws mercy in there a little bit to some specific scenarios, but there's probably a week to spend just on grace and peace to you from God our Father. Because you hear that in a lot of services, right? But some services in many denominations, mainline, not long, they finish with grace and peace to you.
Yeah.
I think, right? Catholic Church says that too. Either way, I've heard it a lot, so I think that's there. But I think there's a lot of gravity to those words, the grace and peace to you, but from God our Father. Like,
right.
I think there's just something, there's some depth there that I need to dwell on a little bit more, stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And they clearly stood out to Paul.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it did.
So they should stand out to me. I still wrestle with Paul, but I should listen to him.
Yeah, that's good.
I do appreciate the review to kind of calibrate where we come from, because when you said November 10th, I thought it would have been like September. It feels like forever, but not at all. It feels like both.
Agreed.
Kind of like our marriage. We're like, we've been married for no time, but forever.
Yeah.
That was my line, the first year of marriage. Oh no, we've been married for a year, so we got it all figured out.
Yeah.
But I appreciate, and then I also really appreciate you bring us back to the focus of what we're trying to do together, but based on that understanding. So it's appreciate yeah. how you've done that.
No, thank you. That's yeah. good.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's this, I think the idea of reflection as well, right? It is so important. And so continue to, it's really cool what Paul does, where you're right, you know, the grace and peace to you, like that's a really cool piece. And it's not just simply two words, right? There's so much packed into that. And then when he talks about, you know, I'm an apostle of Christ by the will of God, like that deserves a whole lot of reflection as well too, right? That it's like, man, God, how have you been leading me? How have you been leading our family? You know, by the will of God, he has us where we are, right? We often think that it's so easy for us to think like, well, this is just kind of how things have rolled out to be, right? And you know, this has all just kind of happened by chance. I don't believe that. God is working in our hearts, in our lives, and he has brought us to where we are today individually and then now as a group. And so I encourage you to reflect on that as well. And so I think, you know, it's good for me as you know, a pastor, you know, your pastor, even reminding myself that, okay, I'm becoming and now am, you know, the pastor of a church, and oh my goodness, what does that look like? And man, we gotta do these sort of things. And it's like, by the will of God, just realize by the will of God, he's leading us, he has us where we are today. And I think part of this, and maybe just a sneak peek into what I'd like to happen in the next few weeks, is I'd love to be able to present the draft of a plan that, like, okay, this is where we're going to go from here. This is where I believe, you know, God is leading us as a body of believers. And before I do that, I want to just talk about some of the things that God has already been doing. And Sarah and I, we had a great opportunity driving is a good time to be able to talk. And so we just reflected on, you know, what has God been doing as far as this group? And so, you know, I'll also want to share just some of the things that God has been doing in, you know, how God has been moving in this group as well too. And so yeah, just be encouraged and also be looking forward and looking ahead. And if there's, I know that when we talked before prayer, I think it was last week or maybe two weeks ago, you know, you even just expressed that, oh, you know, my kids are looking forward to what it would mean for them to be involved in the church as well too. And I'd challenge each of you that if there's something stirring in your heart, I'm the type of person that it's like, let's talk about it. Like, it's not, I may be the one that is kind of pastoring or shepherding the flock, but it's like, we're moving forward together. We are absolutely moving forward together. So if God's stirring something in your heart as well, then please do talk with me and share that with me. That, well, I think that we should start a prayer time, or I think we should, you know, something like that. I'd love to hear from you as well too, just how God is working and stirring in you as well. And no pressure at the same time, where it's like, oh, I need to start something. I don't think that we're there yet either, right? That we can just have kind of pop ministries popping up here and there everywhere from our group of two families and Charlotte as well, right? So be strategic about it, but be open to how God is speaking to you by the will of God, right? By how he's speaking to you and leading and guiding you as an individual who's a part of this group of believers. Be sensitive to how God is speaking. Moving.
Amen. Yes.
It's interesting to see how God would bring you from your family from one side of the globe to here in Tanta.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually planning to move to New Brunswick.
Wow.
And it was not God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
It was out in the initially
wow.
We were thinking as, okay, we you know, come up with so-called plans and say, okay, let's do this. We try to work things out. But that was totally, we went and shared this with Pastor Baker at that time, and we told him that we will continue being here until that time. And
he said, you're not going.
And he said, I just don't think it's going to happen. Even Norma mentioned the same thing. She said, I don't mean to put it, but I don't think that's happening.
Wow.
We had so many. We wanted them to pray for us, and they were like, "No, you're not going." But gosh, no. Please pray for this intention. And they were like,
"There
no,
were viewings,
no.
not one of them." We said, "All right, this is fine.
Oh,
there's no point pushing against it. Just take it off the market." And that was it.
That far to list the home and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, you listed your home.
We listed our home.
Wow.
So the door got slammed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were like wondering, God, what do you want from us? Why were we like, why Ganda? So when I heard that there's a new pastor coming, I was like, God, thank you. Now, you know, God is, he's amazing. It just, a story pastor, I was just thanking God, like, thank you for doing what you were doing and how you were placing your family and placing. It's amazing, like, it just overwhelms me when I see the way God works in our lives, you know.
Yeah,
that's good. We can never be the same person we were. Like, if I look back to yesterday, I'm not the same person.
Hmm.
It's because we're walking with Christ. And
that's good.
Yeah, it's amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for obeying God and moving to the Lord, because we were just praying so hard for a pastor.
Hmm.
Like, we didn't want to give up. We didn't want to.
I know you guys didn't. Yeah.
No, everyone would leave and go and be like, no, this cannot happen. This cannot happen.
You sure you weren't called to Hawaii and we were called there?
Maybe, yeah. Consider it, yeah.
You can thank God, too, because the snow was a lot heavier in New Brunswick.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, when we sit and talk, even thank God for Jeremy and Suzanne.
Yes.
And, you know,
absolutely.
It's amazing. It's this meeting and building each other up and edifying each other is something that we've always looked for. Always look for, like, we need to build ourselves up in Christ.
Mm.
That's so important, and we see that happening now, and we just thank God that we can see our prayers being answered, and He knows our hearts, and that's so amazing how, like, Leo speaks to us about certain things, and then we come for service on Sunday, and then Pastor says the same thing, and I'm like, okay.
I forgot that we talked about this sort of like talents, the giftings and all. Like, I completely forgot that, and so it wasn't like based on what we talked about. It's just as we look at God's word, like, He'll align. He truly will align us, and that's, you know, that's pretty exciting. And I just want to comment on one thing that Caprina said, where it's like we're coming together. We're coming together, and it's like there's an opportunity to build each other up and to be encouraged. I don't want to get into like talking about the mission and the vision and those types of things, but I do want to say this morning that this can't stop, right? Like, this needs to be a focus. Like, as we grow, the temptation will be there to put on a service, right? And I truly believe there's value in gathering together and in inviting people into that space. I love that aspect. I love being able to worship together as a large group and celebrate Jesus. But if it seems maybe we're moving a bit slow into something like that, it's because I want us to be grounded in what's important. And I think this is important. I know that. You know, just in conversations with Jeremy and even just meeting with the three of us and saying, God, what would you have for us? Like, that's what's come out, is that it's the church is there to edify and to build up one another.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that when you're together in a big group of, you know, let's believe for 100 people, let's believe for 120, 150 even, you know, like, it'd be amazing. But you can only do that surface, you know, on a surface deep level. And so we need to establish what we're doing here. It's establish the discipleship aspect as well, because we are, as we dig into God's word like this, this is discipleship. Like, this is growth, right? This is like, oh yeah, you know, I need, it's my responsibility. We hear words like that and it's like, okay, it's my responsibility to be growing in my gift and to be using it. Okay, what do we do in order to be doing that, right? And so, anyway, now I'm kind of presenting our plan and you know, presenting a plan, sorry. And I said I wouldn't, but it's more, I'm kind of talking to myself. It's a reminder that, okay, we need to establish some things. And it's very important for us to do that. And so let's continue to pray. I encourage you, be seeking God, just really be praying about what does it mean for us to be living as a new life body of believers in the community that God has us. And I'm believing for that to be, yeah, in Dundalk, eventually we could be in the building. I'm believing for that to be in Flesherton, where we are, you know, you guys in Dundalk yourselves and in wherever you are, Kolhapur area. Duncan, was it Duncan?
Ravenna.
Ravenna, technically.
Ravenna?
Kolhapur is what I would take.
Yeah. You know, so that, how does that look as we are one body, but having effect in all of our communities? And so, yeah. In a sense, I want to formalize that. In a sense, I want us to continue to be doing what we're doing. Sarah and I were talking yesterday. What does that look like for us? Like, we love the space that, you know, the space that we have here. This is too small to get any bigger as a group, but maybe outdoors. Maybe we can, you know, the sledding hill is there. Let's have campfires every Saturday afternoon and say, come for a camp, you know, just invite people from the community and come for a campfire and sledding and whatever else. And so just starting to, you know, discuss as we get more and more settled and able to figure out life a bit more. What does it mean for us to be a light to this community? And so I challenge you to pray about that as well, as a family. So. I've already said way more than I originally said I was going to, but I'd love to end our time off in prayer, unless there's just something burning in your heart that you need to say. Yeah, you go ahead, Jeremy.